Welcome to the Nurture Hub Pregnancy and Birth Podcast with your hosts, Shari Lyon and Nicola Lay.
Together, we bring over 30 years of experience in working with women and partners through education, breathing, mindfulness, and evidence-based information, and nurturing you through this transformation into motherhood.
Join us on this journey as we connect with women and partners, mentoring, supporting, and navigating the ups and downs of becoming parents.
Hello and welcome back, beautiful mummies.
Yay!
Back, well, this is our first official episode.
It is.
A guest who we will introduce very shortly. But we're excited to absolutely jump back into this.
And I feel excited, actually. Yeah, I feel really excited to start interviewing again and being back in the space. I feel like we've got a real groove on this year.
Yes. We've got to keep the groove going. But just a quick reminder before we jump in and introduce our beautiful guest today, just a reminder on how you can work with either Nicola or I. You know, we would love to support you on this journey, whether it is you are trying to conceive your baby, you are pregnant already, or even postpartum. We both offer services that can help you. So I offer online Hypnobirthing Australia courses monthly. So that's the 12-hour program. And if you're local to the Gold Coast, Brisbane, you know, not really northern New South Wales, my face-to-face classes on the Gold Coast. So I hold them every single month. And you can view all of my dates on my website, bellytobirth.com.au.
And this year I am stepping deeper into the birth work. I've kind of been sort of stepping out last year and back in again. So offering the workshops back in person and online for breathing and just really dropping into the birth space that you're visualizing with the breath and really feeling the modality of that. And also holding regular pregnancy circles in person on the Gold Coast. And then Nurture Hub is now moving into online pregnancy circles and retreats this year. Mm-hmm. So to work with me, just go to nicolalay.com or go into Instagram with the same name and to our nurturehubpodcast.com
for our website.
Yeah,
make sure you register the contact form on the main homepage, and you'll be updated to any live events, whether it be online or face-to-face on the Gold Coast. So we will be scheduling those very, very shortly. But I am super excited to welcome our guest on today. We have Katie Kempstar. And Katie, I have known Katie for, I think it's around 8 or 9 years now, because Katie is also a Hypnobirthing Australia practitioner. But yeah, Katie is an experienced doula, hypnobirthing educator. She consciously conceived and hypnobirthed her own two boys into the world with tremendous love, focus and strength, and it was their transformational birth that inspired her to follow the call to becoming a birth keeper. Katie is also trained as a natural therapist, hypnotherapist, birth doula, energetic healer, flower essence specialist, angelic Reiki master teacher, conscious conception facilitator, and also a sacred womb keeper and earth keeper. Welcome.
Oh, welcome. Sign me up. Sounds amazing.
Thank you to both of you for having me on here. Shari, what a gift. I'm really excited to talk today about some of the topics that are just really dear to my heart and my work. So yeah, I'm really excited to be here. Thank you.
Oh, would you like to sort of tell us a little bit about what you do and your journey? That would be amazing for everybody to know.
Sure. So I think like a lot of women that enter the birth keeper space, it was really my own journey in conception, in pregnancy, and in my births with my two boys that really changed the direction of my line of work. You know, prior to calling in my boys, I was trained and working as a natural therapist, focusing very much on the physical, so with herbal medicine and nutrition. But I was moving more into more energetic medicine because I, you know, very much fell in love with flower essence medicine, you know, over 25 years ago. And, you know, once I had this beautiful experience, particularly of pregnancy, labor, and birth, I knew as soon as I walked out of the hospital with my second bub that I needed to turn around and take some training in hypnobirthing education, in, you know, to become a doula. And it was also through how much of a profound response I had to using hypnosis for my labor that I went and did my training for hypnotherapy as well. So I kind of launched myself again, like a lot of new mums, when they find like that aligned heart, I guess that heart gift that you really want to share with the world, that I jumped in and really started my business when my boys were really quite small. And what sort of evolved for me, and the core of my business is teaching the Hypnobirthing Australia program. But what's evolved for me through my own, I guess, conscious evolution has been just a greater awareness of some of the spiritual and metaphysical components of what it means to, you know, consciously conceive babies and really work with, you know, your own energetic field, the quantum field, and you know, just that knowing that you're really creating a really beautiful high vibrational space for your little one, calling them in. And then, you know, paying attention to how you nurture that process in the lead up, and then how you nurture yourself in pregnancy, and not just on the physical level, not just with your diet, but really very much with your self-care and your attention to ritual and your attention to your energetic field and that of your baby. And then of course the functional amazing part is, you know, that really grounded wisdom that we can offer parents through the hypno program. So I have come to work with women and their partners and families on a lot of different levels over the years, and some more than others. Some just want straight up, you know, hypnobirthing education, and some you know, will send me emails as profound as, I have an awareness that I'm a star seed, and are you able to help me to understand, you know, being a star seed and how I might call in a baby like that? And so that's really beautiful when I receive emails like that, and, you know, couples that want to connect, that don't just want to track their ovulation or maybe do a bit of a detox, but they actually want to have a really understanding about what do they need to be emitting to really call in that ideal little person to join their family. So it's been beautiful to see, just in the time that I've been involved in birth work, which is, I first started teaching hypnobirthing in 2012, so over 10 years now, that I find more and more couples have much more of an awareness of what it means to consciously conceive. And so, you know, it's much more mainstream for people now to really go, okay, well, I don't want to just try for a baby. I want to go and speak to some people and align with practitioners that are going to support us on all these levels that we know are important for us, you know, being able to have the most beautiful pregnancy and birth experience that we can. So that's really how I've arrived here. And obviously, along with all of that, it's been a huge personal journey as well. And I think, you know, way back in 2006, when I had heard about conscious conception, I don't recall sort of reading or finding many books on it. I just had it was almost like I had an unconscious knowing, and probably because I was trained in natural medicine, I already knew that I needed to look at my body and my husband's body. And we did do, you know, that beautiful 3-month detox protocol before I conceived my first baby. But for me, it was just more of a yearning to know that I didn't just need to set up my body. I had to set up my spirit as well. And so, to be fair, with Reggie, my first baby, I probably did a lot more of the soul work and the energetic work than what my husband actually did. He was happy to take the herbs and, you know, drop the beers and get ready on that physical level a bit more for a baby. But I really focused on what it meant to me to be really clear in my energy field and you know, in just working with my breath a lot. And, you know, I love the work, obviously, that you do, Nicola, and breath work's been a huge part of my journey for what, since way back then, to be honest, because, you know, it's so dimensional, breath work, you know, and again, it can just access so much of your stories and your wisdom, and it can just call in so much of your power, as well as letting go of things that don't serve you. So I really, you know, worked hard to, you know, take a really good, honest look at everything in my life up until that point. And, you know, I was a typical, very normal young woman in her 20s, did a lot of sort of partying and travel. And, you know, once I sort of settled down, it was like, okay, I really want to have this clear field for this beautiful little baby to come through. And so, you know, fast forward a couple of years after Reggie, I wanted to do it even better than what I'd done with Anakin. And by this point, Trent was more on board with understanding that, you know, we, you know, it'd be great if we can meditate together and if we can do some clearing rituals together. So he came on board more with the clearing rituals. And, you know, that's formed a huge part of now what I share with couples that are willing. And that is, you know, that that ancestral component, which is, okay, well, it's interesting, probably only over the last couple of years, what I've also come to really understand is that the whole calling in of that your special baby, that soul, you know, it begins as like an octave of sound is what I really feel that it is, and that you emit that octave to the universe. And I see the formation of that beautiful baby that we receive. It's like a collaboration of all of your ancestors, lots of different bloodlines, lots of different lessons and learnings that this little soul wants to come in and experience. And so if you work with the parents, like Trent and I did, if you work with consciously with that knowing and that emitting that pulse, so to speak, like a cosmic pulse out to the universe, it, you know, acknowledging your bloodlines. So it's not just, oh, I've got some terrible wounding and trauma in my bloodlines. Like my rituals not only ask you to consciously let go of common stories in bloodlines, because as we know, they are very prevalent. Many people have common stories of abuse, of addiction stories, of lots of different stories. But a lot of people's bloodlines have some really powerful positive qualities as well. You know, like so many, particularly women I speak to, speak about, you know, their nannies or their grandmothers and just how stoic and strong and powerful and energizing they are. So in the ritual, we, and this is what Trent did with me, actually he did do the rituals for Reggie, to be honest. He did do the rituals. He didn't do so much of the meditation practice, but he did the rituals. And so we worked really, really consciously to work with our mother line first, then we worked with our father line, and we let go of traits that we considered, you know, wouldn't be helpful for this new soul that we're calling in. And then we honored the traits that we were like excited to bring in from our family lines, which was really beautiful. And then this all happened over a period of about 8 weeks. And because when you need to have quite a big break in between the rituals just to be able to, integrate them and, you know, embody the learning from them. And so after you work with the mother line and then the father line, I had also come to a greater understanding about any interactions that I'd had with other like men in my life was also, you know, a huge imprint. If you wanted to really set up a clear field to send this pulse out for this baby that you're calling in. And so I didn't just come up with these rituals. I was fortunate enough to meet an amazing woman on the Gold Coast years ago, because I used to be an iridologist, and so I got really interested in the emotional iris. So it wasn't just looking at the physical symptoms in the iris, it was understanding emotional areas of the iris and what that meant. And the woman that I met, you know, spoke really, really powerfully about the influence of your ancestors. And she, you know, I was curious, and you know, in one of the breaks, I said to her, "Look, I'm thinking of, you know, calling in a baby soon, and you know, I'm doing the herbs, I'm doing the detox, I'm doing the meditation. You know, is there something that you would recommend doing?" And she said, "Yeah, I recommend you and your husband clear your mother line, your father line, and then you clear all your imprints from past partners, and you do it really consciously and sacredly, and you give it time between each one to integrate." And so she gave me kind of like a skeleton, like a few bits of words that I could use. And you know, over the last 10 years I've refined that so beautifully to be a really powerful but easy process for mothers and their partners if they want to do it. And so the last ritual was really, and we did it separately because God, you wouldn't want to do it in front of
that's what to say.
I said, "Don't worry, you do yours and I'll do mine." And we actually had to kind of name some of, you know, the people that we'd interacted with and that we were consciously choosing to let them go and let them be removed from our physical and energetic body. And you know, doing yet again another decree, because I work really powerfully with decrees. I love decrees, which are just probably a bit more of an advanced place than working with affirmations. So it's a real shout out to the universe that I now, you know, am asking for this to be irrevocably gone, and I'm anchor, lock and sealing the new into my field. So we did these beautiful rituals, and the lady that had shared them with me had said to me, "Look, what's common when I've, you know, shared these with other people is that things will play out in your dream state." And whether or not it's because she suggested that, but for both of us, we had just dramatic playing out of stories from our family lines, dramatic play out from ex-partners, like, you know, both of us had ex-partners hunting us down in dreams saying, "Take me back." You know, because it's like it was so profound, the energetic release from the ritual, that somewhere in the quantum the partner's gone, "Hang on a minute, I'm not letting go of you." So it was really, really profound work. And you know, to be honest, at that time I hadn't done a lot of work with ritual and clearing, and so it was really, really huge. And so once we got through those rituals, because with my first son, it actually took my husband and I 12 months to conceive. And I really feel it in reflection, it is because we both needed all of this time to do all this work and to do all this clearing. So, you know, I think it's powerful work. Like I said, it's not for everyone, but I'm finding that more and more people are drawn to it and willing to take it on, and not finding it too kind of out there to do it. But, you know,
but it is a thing, right? Like, so I totally agree. The amount of rituals I've done of cutting cords, doing womb healing in the past for past experiences with other, allowing to give my power to somebody, you do have to close that connection off, because it does stay in our cells and in our body and our being and our energetic souls. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely had that experience where I've had the dreams come flying in and you're like, whoa, yeah. It's crazy, right? Yeah.
Even Nicola, when I had done my mother line, I had this profound lucid dream where I was taken to a childhood home that I'd left when I was about 9 years old. And in the dream, I was taken underneath the house, and in there was all these crates of mail. So actual physical mail. And at the time, you know, because Trent and I had just got married and, you know, a couple of years later we were wanting to conceive this first baby, in this dream it was so profound, the allegory of the mail to what I was consciously doing, because in the dream there was a guide, you know, like a sort of faceless person that said, "Oh, we've come back to," because I grew up in Tasmania, "we've come back to Tasmania to this house, and we're collecting your mail here because there's not going to be any more mail sent here." And there were, in all the boxes, and I remember lucidly looking in the dream, in all the boxes, it was under my maiden name. And then there was this tiny little box that was my married name. So it was even so specific that it said, all this baggage from this family line and this past, it's time for you to collect it now and you're not going to get any more mail.
And love this. And it's crazy. Like, even for me, last time I did a womb healing, gosh, it was after I had a miscarriage. And in that came one of my long-term ex-partners, and it ended really badly. And I literally walked out of the session, and within half an hour, I had a message for him, and I hadn't heard from him in 10 years. No. Like, I was like, whoa. And he was saying, please, will you forgive me?
Wow.
It was just like, I remember thinking, this is crazy. And I went home and told my partner, he went, no, that's just, you know, coincidence. But it felt so right. I was so relieved to get that apology and move forward. It was just so good to let go of it, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
And amazing, you know, listening to you both being so aware of it. See, I'm gonna be honest, I was not aware of any of this at all. You know, I think I was 25 when I fell pregnant, and I'm gonna be honest, definitely did not consciously conceive. I was consciously feeling I was nowhere near ready for this baby, and he came in, I think, to teach me the lessons that I needed to learn. So it's quite fascinating to hear how, you know, connected you both are, you know, especially you, Katie. Like, wow, like that's it just is so beautiful that you were so aware of the importance of this. But that's why I'd love to then ask you, for someone like myself and probably many women who weren't aware of this, who I've had my children now, what if, could there be effects of not clearing those ancestral traumas, history, now for us, even though, you know, my son is almost 12, my daughter's 8, I definitely feel I have become more consciously aware since he came in. He has made me do work on myself, but nothing to the depth of what you are speaking about. So for those of us, because we have a lot of women who are already pregnant, can they do a bit of the work now, even if they're already pregnant or have had their children?
100%, because for me, what, again, I've come to know about healing is that healing can just happen in a moment, right? And that we're existing, you know, I believe that we're existing on all planes and all levels and on all timelines. And so, you know, I have worked with parents that have had particular, you know, traumatic experiences with their children, whether it be in pregnancy or through the birth or just even as small children. And we can work with that story and that trauma in that moment. So, you know, it doesn't even have to be trauma, though. If there's anything consciously that you want to release, you know, within your family field, that can be done, you know, with someone like me or another facilitator that works beautifully in that space. It can happen in a moment. And, you know, Shari, I want to say, and because a lot of my friends as well are like, oh God, Katie, I just felt pregnant. And then they hear my story and they're like, oh, that was really in depth. And they sort of know my tradie husband and they're like, did Trent really do all of that? Like, yes, he did.
I could not imagine my husband. I think he'd look at me.
But you know, I think sometimes when they marry you and they're with you, or they're connected to you in a relationship, they know that that's your style, right? Mm-hmm. So they know that that's going to be your journey, and they either will resist it and, you know, fight their way along this journey, or they join in. You know, Anthony was like, are you serious? We're going to do all these things? And every month when I do the moon stuff, he's like, she's upstairs doing her witchy stuff. He just knows the journey. We've been here for 17 years together doing it. So he was always going to join in.
and I'm amazed sometimes if I catch Trent speaking to someone in the, particularly, you know, if we've got pregnant friends and people on the journey, and the way he just quite eloquently describes our experience with the boys and conceiving the boys, I'm like, oh wow, he, you know, as much as he was just pretty much doing what I told him to do, it's like he really understands it on a powerful level. And you know, with Anakin, not so much with Reggie, but with Anakin, I know a lot of women are really aware of when their babies really come into the womb. Or, you know, just, you know, I've also come to know that I think that babies come in and they go out and they come in and they go out. And I don't think there's a set time where the baby soul fully comes in for each woman. But with the super conscious work that we did for Anakin, you know, I was doing like a daily adapted Huna prayer for him, which was just really, really beautiful. And the night that we conceived him, again, I had another really beautiful lucid dream, and a dear friend of mine who is a very profound oracle and spiritual healer, she came to me in the dream, and she works really closely with Mother Mary, and you know, we know that Mother Mary is so connected to the children. And she, in the dream, I was at this beautiful sacred mountain, and Heidi, my friend, came and she said, it's time for you to give me Reggie. And at the time, Reggie was about 20 months. And she said, I'm going to take Reggie because you're going to go up into the mountains and you're going to receive your baby.
And wow.
So this trusted, beautiful friend with all this like Mother Mary energy all around her took Reggie in the dream. And I went up into the mountain and I laid in the mountain and received Anakin. And I woke up the next day and I said to Trent, it's a baby. We've got a baby. It was last night. Heidi came. She took Reggie. There's a baby. And sure enough, he was a baby that came up on the strip like 10 days after conception. He was like, yep, I'm here. So yes. Really, really beautiful process. And so for anyone willing, I love to share it. You know, some people I've worked with want to do just these family clearing shari without even wanting to conceive, just because they're really wanting just another layer of letting go of some old stories. Because, you know, we know that when we let go, we create space, you know, because when we're holding on to stories, it's diminishing our capacity to create. And, you know, we know that the womb is that ultimate creation center, the ultimate portal. So, you know, if we can work with our womb really, really consciously, no matter what stage we're at, whether we are conceiving, birthing, you know, with the rite of the womb, if I can move on a little bit and talk about that.
Please, yes, actually.
So, you know, that came to me when the boys were quite young. It was when I was birthing my birth business. And, you know, I was still working through a lot of conditioning and stories, you know, particularly around my mum, to be honest. And there was a lot of womb ancestral pain that was still there for me. And I did have a very profound experience, and you both would be familiar with Jane Hardwick Collins. I was fortunate enough to go to one of her first really huge big red tents that was at the Leichhardt Town Hall, and I think it was around 2012 or 2013. Actually,
wow.
It was 2012, so it was in the power time. So that was the time where a lot of people were receiving, you know, lots of new information on the level of the galaxy. You know, it was believed then that the earth was coming into a much more a high vibrational light and space. And so if we talk about people becoming more awakened or aware, that a lot of people, that happened for them around that time. So I was really guided to go to Jane's big red tent, and oh my goodness, there was about 300 women there, and all the amazing shamanic sisters that she had created the most amazing womb space in that big old hall. And we went through a lot of processes that day with Jane, and I do highly recommend so much of her
work. Oh my gosh, she's just amazing, isn't she?
Amazing, yeah. And we did, you know, what was my first womb drum journey. I've done sort of several more since then. And so Jane led the drum journey. And with that many women there, you know, over 300 women and all of her kind of sisters that were helping facilitate, we went into the womb journey, and we really, for the first time, I really got deeply visually inside my womb, and I was able to meet my inner womb goddess there. And what happened through, you know, I pretty much blacked out to anything Jane was saying, as you do when often when you just go so unconscious in an experience. And really deeply unconsciously, I was shown this really vivid montage of so much suffering and pain within my own family line. And I saw really extreme things. You know, I saw, you know, my grandmother who had had a backyard abortion, and that was later confirmed to me by a family member. And I saw all of it in the sequence, but I also saw, as it moved through showing me the pain and the suffering, then my two main, my maternal and my paternal grandmother, they came to me really, really vividly and acknowledged me for the work that I was doing, and acknowledged that I had come here to change the story for our family. And you know, I didn't even really know what that meant at that time, but it was, I was having a lot of wounding and trauma with my mum, and they said, we know why you need to do this, and we're backing you, and we thank you, and we knew you were the one that was going to come and do it.
Wow, love this.
So it was, set me on a whole trajectory of knowing that this was a place where I could access, you know, so much that, you know, was really unconsciously holding me back. And so, of course, after that journey, I was really open to womb consciousness in general, and understanding more about that. And, you know, I was working with a brilliant lady in America, just doing a bit more like ascension work and building my light body and doing some beautiful work like that. But she was a woman that was invited to the very first rite of the womb ceremony that was held at the Joshua Tree in America. And the story behind this rite of the womb is, it's a part of the Moonai Ki rites, and they're well-established healing rites that have been out in the world for quite some time. But the 13th rite, the rite of the womb, had been held very much within with the women. And it's such a reflection, isn't it, of how much suppression and oppression has happened in general for women, that it took until a certain point of consciousness for even such a really powerful healing rite to be taken out into the world. And so my teacher had been invited to the first, very first ceremony, where Marcela Lobos, who worked with a wonderful shaman, Alberto Valoldo, she's his partner actually, she had been taken on a really powerful journey with the Shipibo women in the Amazon, and they had initiated her into this rite. And but they had said to her, it's going to take a bit of time before you get permission to actually send this out. So it happened in 2013, and my teacher received it, and my teacher lovingly gave it to me. And so I became the first person in Australia that could then go and pass on this womb rite. Now thousands, thankfully, and thousands of women have received the rite of the womb and continue to pass it on. And I'll never forget, as I was guided to do my first ceremony at this beautiful little cave on the northern beaches where I was living at the time, my teacher that had given me the rite, she saw it all in a dream. She messaged me and she said, you're going to go to a cave. There's going to be, you know, five women. I've seen it all. And I've seen, she said, I saw just the blessing going out to Australia of all the wombs of Australia from being, you know, in that cave. So I've done quite a few rituals and ceremony with that specific womb rite over the last 10 years. And you know, it is so profoundly helpful and beautiful for women on a fertility journey, women who have suffered from pregnancy loss, obviously women that have suffered any violation and abuse, women that have had terminations. But it's been amazing as well for perimenopausal women, women gone through, it's for all women. And I did one rite of the womb ritual down the south coast. A beautiful teacher of mine had invited me down, And when the, you know, I had set up sort of my altar space on the beautiful river down there, and when all the women started turning up, and I didn't know who was really coming, and all the women that started turning up were women actually past their menopause. So lots of crone women were turning up to the circle, and it was the first time I'd done one that it wasn't just a lot of young women or pregnant women, or, and the majority of the circle ended up being women in their, you know, 60s and 70s. And it was really immensely powerful. And we had, like, you know, obviously a nice meal afterwards. And some of the women shared that, you know, they had no idea. They'd just seen the event and they knew they had to come. And there was just so many tears. And it was all around really long held and stored pain and suffering and trauma within their womb. So, you know, it is, you know, I'm not saying that everything just gets healed in one session, but it certainly, in my experience, has been able to initiate a lot of women into their own journey of healing a lot of those ancestral wounds and a lot of the stories around connected to their womb. So really, really powerful. Nice. I'll tell you one here, just as I remember it, one from that particular ceremony. One of the ladies in her 70s, I didn't know about it at the time, but she had had quite a profound response to receiving the rite and was pretty emotional. And my friend that had organised the ceremony contacted me some weeks later, and she said to me, my friend wanted me to share with you, Katie, that when she was a young woman, and I think it was in the, you know, 1950s or 60s, she had stillbirthed twins. And, you know, in keeping with those times, you know, no awareness of allowing mothers to grieve their babies, and babies were swiftly taken away. And after she received the womb rite in this big circle with all of us, she's a woman that owns horses, and one of her mares actually birthed twins, you know, a couple of months after the womb rite. But the twins actually did, the twin horses died as well. But she was able to grieve them and honour them, and she felt like it was a really symbolic experience for her to once and for all be able to connect with the souls of her twins. And I just thought, oh, wow.
Wow.
So the stories are just quite far-reaching, and yeah, I've had many, but it's really, really beautiful. And I just generally get a huge nudge from spirit when spirit says it's time for you to offer another womb ritual, and then sure enough, all the women turn up. So it's not sort of something I do regularly. It's, you know, I've had a few requests to do them over the years, but I just get this big nudge that says, okay, let's do another ritual, and we'll share that healing. And, you know, you with the rite of the womb people, they, you can then go forward and you can nourish your womb over a series of 13 moons and do that really conscious work with your cycle as well, if you choose to. So I've had a few women that have chosen to do that as well. So beautiful work.
Wow, that's profound, life-changing work for all women, I feel. We all carry, you know, it still blows my mind that, you know, our grandmothers, you know, were carrying us. And it just, it makes so much sense that we would carry so many generational traumas through our womb space.
Yeah. But we're not supported as young women to connect in with that at all. No. It's not, we have been made to be so unconscious through conditionings and things like that. But as you said, like the awakening as it, like it's, it, more women are awakening to connecting in to that awareness. And I think that's where being able to actually listen to that calling is important, and blocking out that noise, because, you know, and that's where, like, for women who are wanting to conceive but it's just not happening for them, is, do you think it's the babies that are calling them to do this work as well, but but they're not listening? Or I don't know, like, I know that there are also physical aspects of conception, yes, and things like that as well, but I don't really know what I'm trying to ask here, but it's I don't know, because this is kind of where I truly believe in the work that we do, is that the babies send the women to us to do, yes, work, and they don't know even at the time why they keep seeing know, something we've shared or you know, things that have coming up where our name keeps being mentioned. And do you think there's truth to that?
I 100% do, Shari, because, you know, I believe that it's such a cosmic collaboration from that true, you know, that initial pulse to, you know, coming into anatomy and physical form, that, you know, that baby and those parents, they draw to them all the people that are going to be supportive of that growth and their experience. And I've had a lot of people, Shari, that just flat out go, I don't know why I'm even here with you. Like, I honestly thought your stuff was really far out, but I knew I had to book in with you. And I've heard that so much, and that they've acknowledged that I think my baby really wanted me to come and learn from you. And I'm like, yeah, I think so too. I think it's like everything. I think we cosmically collaborate with so many people in our world, and the more centered, conscious and aware we are, the more people that are super aligned with that are going to be coming into our space. And you know, for these little starseed babies, if I want to refer to them as that, they want the most aligned, aware, awakened people to be supporting their parents to help, you know, navigate the pathways of pregnancy and giving birth. And you know, I'm such an advocate of really helping mothers and their partners understand that they are really sovereign in their choices in birth. They are there to be directing the whole course of their pregnancy, that they've got the right to ask so many questions, and I guess really helping them to be clear on what their goals and their vision are for their pregnancy care and their birth. And sometimes just that conversation with someone who has a bit more understanding of that, women can walk away and go, actually, I don't actually think that that person that I've hired is really in alignment with what I want, and so I'm actually going to look at a different option. And I think that's powerful if we're able to do that, to help people make sure that they've got people in their field that are going to support the most positive experience for them. So that, you know, I love helping parents reclaim sovereignty around choice. And as you would both know, a lot of people coming into pregnancy and birthing, there is a little bit of a mindset is, oh, I just do what I'm told. Yet they meet people like us and they're like, oh, I've got a choice. And we're like, yes, you do. Here's your choices. Here's your options. Here's how you can get ready for that. And so I think,
Understanding that ancestral conditioning of being a woman, of be a good girl, do as you're told. Yep. Don't be difficult. And I think that's where as well, you know, when, you know, in the Hypnobirthing Australia program, we talk about the fight, flight, freeze, or appease, or fawn response. And just recently, I've really started to explain more about that appease fawn, because that's what a lot of women go into in birth, because we can't fight, really. We can't run. We'll either freeze or that appease. And like when I speak to this now, it's like these women, they look at each other, or they'll look at their partner and go, that's me. Like, I'm a people pleaser. I will make sure everyone else is okay before myself. I feel like if I do question my medical caregivers, that they're going to be offended, and I don't want to offend them. And so I'll just do as I'm told. And I think even without going into the depths of that, just now explaining that more in detail within the course brings this awareness to women of going, oh my gosh, like that's how I feel I will respond if I was told that they want to induce me, or you know, to have that intervention, that I've that ancestral line of for so long of us as women being suppressed and into our power, that's where it can really come up.
So
amazing. It's just, you know, I think even for any of you that are listening, even like simplifying it into, of course you want to connect to your baby. If anything that you learn along the journey is, you're not just a vessel carrying your baby, you have an energetic connection to this child. And I think sometimes we forget that. Women forget, they're just walking around doing life, carrying a baby. Even saying, I feel like I'm just a walking incubator, you know,
it really hurts when I hear that, because it's so much deeper and so many waves of energy in that. And you know, the work that I do as well is also, you know, talk to your baby, like they want to feel that connection to you. You are going on a journey with them. It's not just you birthing, they're birthing themselves too. And we have to understand that connection is so important. And often when you're working with birthing partners, you know, also giving them that value as well, is that this is, the journey begins at conception. It doesn't begin at birth. Like it's the whole thing. So everything that you're doing in the world and all this healing that you're offering to women is what changes the generations coming through now.
That's right. And it is, you know, offering couples the opportunity to create like this, you know, what I call a really coherent field for that baby, and that the father is a huge part of that, or the birthing companion is an integral part of that field. And like you said, Nicola, reminding mothers that you are so connected. And you know, when I speak to women during our course, and we only have, you know, probably a relatively small section on bonding, but you know, I've witnessed that as well, where mums have this realization that, oh, actually I can consciously communicate here with this little person. I've just been so busy, or I've been so sick, especially the mums that are so sick. It's really, really hard for them, you know, because on the one hand, they're so excited to be pregnant, but then they're living in such misery, especially ones that are really sick, and mums with HD and stuff, to, you know, just to really be able to drop in and recognize that. I often say to mums when I'm teaching that section is that, you know, you and your baby are this symbiotic consciousness. And so this is why you are more sensitive and more vulnerable when you're pregnant, because it's not just your conscious awareness you're carrying. You two are doing it together. And so, you know, that's why you can feel very differently about things, because you've got another little soul vibration that's merging with you. And the more that, you know, your partner can be aware of that as well and choose to consciously connect with Bub through whatever it is, massaging, talking, singing. You know, I've had so many dads, you probably have too, Shari, over the years, that play guitar to their babies.
Yes.
Or piano, or, you know, or they sing, or just really cute stuff.
Anthony used to read a book every night to you know, to both of our girls in utero. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is so cool.
Well, my husband just sang the Carlton Blue song to my that's my husband. Yep.
It does. I guess, you know, getting back to that question earlier, Shari, I think even in that little section in our course, we are able to give those parents a moment to reflect and create space and time. You know, even if they've arrived at us at 36 weeks, to just, you know, let's spend these last weeks really being intentional with our baby. And I say to them, you know, they will feel that, and that creates that strong field for you ready to give birth. And the stronger and more connected and coherent you all are in your love on your birthing day, the more you're going to be able to drive that experience. And so I think, it, you know, for a lot, it really drops in at that point if it hasn't already beforehand.
Well, we hope it does. I mean, I just feel though that with the way all the systems that our clients are birthing in, it's preventing them from being able to do that in many ways because of the threats of intervention, and we need to get this baby out, and it's so rushed, and I obviously trying to get everything ready for the baby material wise and you know, Nicola talks about this as well, like just coming into the cave, like you need to come inward, you need to, you know, block out distractions and don't worry about everything else, like this is the time you need to come in. But at the same time though, the suppression is still trying to the system is still trying to suppress the women to not connect in so that they still have that control. Yeah. And women have to be aware of this, because if you're not aware of it, then that's when those outside influences, they are the ones that are then coming in to...
It changes the outcomes, doesn't it?
You know, yeah. I mean, I just had a mum yesterday, you know, just, and it, it just breaks, like all the work that she did through the course in such an instant can be just feels like being ripped away from her due to one appointment. So it's, you know, it's hard, but that's why we as women have to connect in with the feelings and the energy and what feels right, because it's there, the answers are there.
Yeah.
But they just need to like block out that the outside.
And I think that's where very strongly the womb sovereignty comes in, because when you've reclaimed, you've restored power within your womb, that you are the one navigating your creation. And so, you know, the more people that can come to more energetic work pre-pregnancy, during pregnancy, it's going to be really beneficial. And I really see that whole field of conscious conception, you know, that there's a whole world of, you know, soul doulas coming through that are working in that field, is going to be really, really powerful, because ultimately, you know, as parents take full responsibility for their, you know, spiritual, mental, physical, emotional health before they have babies, naturally they're going to call in these, you know, really equipped high vibrational souls to match that, and they're going to find high vibrational people to birth with, hopefully.
Yeah.
So and, you know, not saying that everyone that does conscious conception is going to have a perfect experience of labor and birth, not at all, but I think that you're much more likely to be calling in those care providers and team and teachers and people like us that are really aligned with giving the power back to the woman and the family and the sovereign knowing of your innate capacity to give birth and do it really powerfully and beautifully. So
how can women work with you, Katie?
So women can work with me, obviously, through engaging in the Hypnobirthing Australia program. So I do that privately. I do it in a small studio. I also do it with a beautiful colleague, a fellow doula, Gemma Wilson, and our business is Central Coast Hypnobirth. So if women are wanting larger groups, women wanting to work with conscious conception can contact me privately on my website. I've got a small program and I send them the rituals and we do a couple of Zooms one-on-one, but I am in the process of creating a beautiful course for that. Mm-hmm. So I'm really wanting and hoping to release that this year. Mm-hmm. So all details are on my website for the conscious conception, right of the womb. You know, I do take requests to run ceremonies on that. So if that all aligns and that's meant to be, I can do that. And you know, we haven't touched on it much today, but I love also working with flower essence medicine with mothers and their partners, infertility in pregnancy and birth, and again that's available just by contact on the website.
Wow, it's been an incredible hour together. Thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom, and I think every mum, you know, even if you're not into that, I think this is enough for you to open your ears and just feel into something that your baby's asking for. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
We hope that you've enjoyed this episode and that it's helped you on your own journey. We would love it if you would subscribe and leave us a review.
To learn more about our individual online or face-to-face courses or be mentored by us for your own birth, please see our show notes for the links to our programs.